Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome to the Alan Nathan Show by Silker Joe Show co-host Joe, filling in for Al today while he is on assignment, as you are fairly used to by now. However, if he were here with us today, he would give to you the show's mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. The Alan Nathan Show comes to you these days courtesy of the Main Street Radio Network. Why do I say these days? Because for the first 12 years or so of Alan's show's existence, he was out there fighting the good fight for sponsors himself, but he partnered with the Main Street Radio Network, who handle all the financials, so we appreciate that. And you can show some appreciation. Go to mainstreetradionetwork.com. Now, I will also say Alan is the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist talk host in the country. Been around since 1998. Earlier this month was the show's 27th anniversary. So the show's now in its 28th year of national syndication. And so you can figure that we've had this nice partnership with Main Street Radio Network for about 15 years of that. So, again, show them some appreciation. MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. You'll find out about the Al Nathan Show up there. Find out about the Silker Joe Show up there. Find the podcast for the show all up there, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. But also on AlanNathan.com, but that's just for Alan's show. It doesn't cover my show or anything. So if you decide you like how I sound, you're just going to find when I guest host for Alan on AlanNathan.com. You're not going to find anything else. But there's plenty worth checking out there. He's got his columns and articles and stuff. Whenever I say he's on assignment, he might be working on one of those. So you can check that all out, AlanNathan.com. He's on social media, too. Twitter, at Alan Nathan. But also he posts under Main Street Radio Network's pages on Facebook and Wimkin at Main Street Radio Network, Twitter /X at Main Street Radio. And we also want to thank the Salem Radio Network. They have a hand in this. They distribute this program. Now, at this point, I want to get to you his pre-written topics that are out there on those social media pages. I got them right here, though I did not turn the monitor towards my face properly. Thus, I must turn my body to read them. Are the organized anti-ICE riots in Los Angeles and now Chicago a preview of the mass demonstrations Democrats spent months planning for this weekend? Also, Trump and House Republicans start investigating the backers of the anti-ICE riots, including a billionaire behind a political party that's tied to both the riots and the assassin who shot two Israeli diplomats. What next? We talked at length, last month about the assassin who killed the Israeli diplomats, the embassy staff members, and wanted to kill more, shot them right outside the Jewish Museum in Washington, D.C., because of all this pro-Palestinian talk. And he's from this political party. It's called the Party for Socialism and Liberation. He was from their Chicago branch, where, interestingly enough, riots are breaking out now in Chicago. And this group also has a branch in Los Angeles, and they are some of the supporters of the riots out there, too. They've been tied to those. Or at least that's what everyone thinks. And now you have this tie to this assassin from this group in Chicago. Now, they disavowed any relation with him, but he was a member with them for years. And now we're looking at this billionaire who is behind this party that turned out such radicalism as this guy. And this billionaire's name is, where can I find it? Where can I find it? Where is that article headline at? Neville, I thought that name was going to be right up there. Neville Roy Singham is the name of this shadowy billionaire and with alleged ties to the Chinese Communist Party. And he's also been accused of bankrolling other left-wing activist stuff on the streets and riots and stuff like that, which might explain what's the timing of these riots to coincide with the Trump administration's trade deals with China, try and distract from that. Or it's just bad timing all around. I'm actually confused by the timing of these riots. Because on the one hand, yes, it's going out against it seems to be building up possibly for the demonstration scheduled for this coming weekend, and those turning into riots themselves, with the overall goal being to shift the public's perception against Trump. But the problem is that there's not really any major elections this year, aside from the Virginia elections and the New Jersey elections. Well, Democrats are going to win the Virginia elections because they have so many pissed off federal workers in this state and government contractors. They've taken over this state. So the entire Northern Virginia area, you'd be hard pressed to find someone not tied to the government in some way who doesn't want Trump in there. That's just the nature of things in Virginia, so that's not really an election they would have to worry about. And New Jersey, though, they do have a chance this year. I saw a headline the other day, New Jersey has a chance of flipping red this year. I don't believe it's going to happen myself. I think the election's going to be rigged and all that. And we've talked with General McInerney either on this show or the Silker Joe show back in 2021 after the elections there, how there was some evidence of rigging going on, and certainly nothing's been done to fix problems since then. So I don't think Democrats have much to worry about these elections. But the thing is, by the midterms next year, these riots are going to be gone and forgotten. I mean, gee whiz, back in 2021, Republicans won the governor's race in Virginia. Now, they did that a year after the riots of 2020. And heck, they did it the same year as the January 6th riots, yet the Republicans win the governorship anyway. So despite that massive propaganda around January 6th. So once these riots are out of the headline, they're pretty well gone. So they can't really be tied to the midterms next year, which means there must be something this year that they're tied to. Again, possibly these governor's races, or perhaps it could just be an act of desperation. At this point, they have nothing. Their power in the courts is going to be challenged. They've overplayed that hand. They don't have Congress. They don't have the presidency, and Trump can easily challenge their governors on anything that they do that's independent of the federal government. So what exactly do they have left but to riot in the streets? And they've lost also the immigrant community. So are these riots perhaps are designed to try and win some folks back from that? I mean, Trump won with 47% of the legal immigrant community voting for him in 2024, up from 36% in 2016. So that's a pretty significant gain on his part. Not only that, but legal immigrants, CNN did this, showed this poll the other day about this, legal immigrants, they shifted from, in 2020, being 32 points in favor of Democrats to being 8 points in favor of Trump. That's a 40-point shift, thanks to the Biden administration and, well, the left's vision of immigration, because we know the Biden administration, they weren't actually doing any of that. Well, Biden himself wasn't. There was all the think tanks and corporate interests and whatnot. Biden had nothing to do with that. He got lost in his own closet, according to Secret Service agents. He had nothing to do with immigration reform. So after 4 years of seeing what the liberal vision of immigration reform was, as handled by their committees and experts and policy wonks and all the other names they give themselves for that are synonyms for idiot, after 4 years of that, the legal immigrant community shifted 40 points in favor of the GOP and Trump on the issue of immigration. And we saw at the beginning of this year how Democrats were really trying to spread the fear of ICE. They kept showing news reports, local news, national news, all over the place. They plastered the airwaves with reports about how immigrant communities in general, legal and illegal, they made no distinction, were terrified of ICE agents and had every right to be terrified of ICE agents, how evil and horrible ICE is. Yet, as of June 4th and 5th, Trump was still polling strongly on immigration. Multiple polls. Across multiple polls, he was polling strongly. 8 points, sometimes as high as 19 points in positive territory for immigration. So that tactic wasn't working, but it was all building up to anti-ICE riots. You know, you create this idea that these communities are in terror, living in fear, and then now you have this opportunity after a few months of that to go out and say, see, they're so scared that they're now fighting ICE for their lives. This isn't a riot. This is fighting for their lives. Or it's just a peaceful protest. You know, you can't really get a straight answer. It depends on which Democrat you ask. So it could be just they're trying to win back the immigrant population, trying to win those voters back, and they think rioting is the way to do it, to try and show that there's, to try and create this artificial idea that there's all these people who feel so terrified for themselves that they're going to go riot. But then also deny that there's a riot happening and try and paint it as the tyranny of the Trump administration, trying to say, well, there's not actually a riot, but instead Trump is just sending the National Guard in to kill all these brown people. That is also one of the narratives that they're spreading. They're also saying outside agitators. Like I said, it depends on which Democrat. I mean, you have the LAPD chief of police out there saying the riots have violence, but then you have Maxine Waters, congressman from California, saying there's no violence at all, nothing happened. And then you have another congresswoman out there from California saying, well, there is violence, but it's outside agitators most likely. The protests are mostly peaceful. It's like that's why I think this might be some bit of desperation, just because they don't even have their message coordinated on it. Anyway, we got more Alan Nathan Show coming up after this break, so stick with us.
Heart disease is the leading cause of death in the U.S., but new research offers hope. A recent clinical trial shows that a once-daily anti-inflammatory medication may help reduce dangerous plaque in the arteries, offering new options for people living with heart disease. Cardiologist and program director at Harbor UCLA Medical Center, Dr. Matthew Budoff, explains how this breakthrough could change cardiovascular care.
We found that low-dose colchicine, 0.5 milligrams, can help reduce coronary plaque volume and inflammation in patients with heart disease. This may offer a new way to prevent future heart attacks or strokes by targeting a root cause, inflammation.
These findings build on prior research showing low-dose colchicine's role in lowering cardiovascular risk in high-risk patients, and it could be a vital part of your doctor's care plan.
When combined with other standard treatments, low-dose colchicine offers another tool to help patients live longer, healthier lives.
Learn more at CVDinflammation.com.
Funko's iconic pop collectibles, the vinyl figures with large signature heads inspired by pop culture characters and celebrities across film, TV, music, sports, and more, are a global sensation. Now, Funko's custom Pop Yourself line offers everyone a chance to create personalized pop replicas of themselves, friends, and loved ones. Skip the boring gifts this season and give dads and grads the gift of Pop Yourself, a personalized gift that's just as unique as they are. Graduation gowns and Father's Day accessories are just a few of the options to personalize your perfect pop. Jen Han, Funko's general manager of Pop Yourself.
Pop Yourself is more than a gift. It's a custom-made tribute. We're delighted to offer everyone the opportunity to create a personalized, thoughtful gift. So ditch the mug or gift card and give your dad or grad a fun, unforgettable keepsake.
Try Pop Yourself to commemorate special moments such as Father's Day, birthdays, baby reveals, or just about anything. To create your Pop Yourself, visit Funko.com.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs. at PVA.org.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show by Silker Joe Show co-host Joe, filling in for Alan today while he's on assignment. We are joined for this segment by Dr. Edward Bartlett. He is founder of SAVE, a former faculty member at three universities and former federal regulator at the Department of Health and Human Services. He's also authored over 100 peer-reviewed articles and editorials. I got the number one right there in 100, but I was about to say 400. Anyway, Dr. Bartlett, appreciate being on the show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing fine, thank you. So in the last segment, I was talking about how Democrats kind of lost the immigrant community vote, especially on the issue of immigration, and you know, perhaps the riots are their way of trying to win that back. But now they're struggling to win back the male vote, too, and they're trying to figure out how to win that back. How did they alienate it, and what are they thinking that their alienated mentality could possibly come up with that could win them back?
Well, what happened in November was one of the greatest political realignments ever in the history of the United States. There have been other cases of political realignments, but this was definitely one of the top five that's ever happened in our country. So what happened, just in a sentence, Joe, 4.5 million male voters switched their votes comparing 2020 to 2024. 4.5 million men said, hey, no way, I'm going to vote for the Republicans this time.
That's a very significant shift, and I mean, it must have happened after 4 years of the Biden administration's policies alienating men. And but what exactly was this alienation that was any different than the Obama years?
Yeah, I think that it was not just specific policies like DEI, although that certainly is one of the reasons why. But I think there was a broader sense that Democrats just did not like them very much. And actually, I'm not the one who said that. If I can, I'm going to quote one of the progressives. This is Ross Rocchetto. He said that know that the Democratic Party really doesn't like or respect men. So if Democrats are admitting to that fact, there has to be a lot of truth to it.
And when you're lacking respect in, for half the population, and then you bring out Obama to badger people for not voting for Kamala Harris, calling them sexist and racist, calling the men sexist and racist for not voting for her, even though they voted for him and voted for Hillary Clinton, and that really shows that they just lost the beat on how to win a male vote.
Well, they don't seem to recognize that people vote based on policies, you know, and when the Democrats just simply I'm going to give you one example. Men are dying 5 years sooner than women in the United States. But go to where I used to work, Department of Health and Human Services. There are, count them, 7 offices of women's health, 0 offices of men's health. There's something really wrong with that picture.
Yeah, it seems to be what their vision of they changed the word from equality to equity, and that rebranding happened over the last 4 years, and that's kind of what it is. And just it also seems that men have been kind of put on notice that that the future is female. They keep chanting that. And then there's also been multiple times where you catch the Democrat Party with, like, posting jobs, no white males, or this job's not for males, or whatever, in the job postings. So they're doing everything they can to alienate that voter block, and then they wonder how they've alienated that voter block. And I don't think the same minds that can't figure that out are going to be able to win anything back.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even Tim Walz himself, the vice presidential candidate, he used the word misogyny. He accused the Republican Party of being racist and misogynistic. I mean, those are really strong words. And obviously, you know, when you hear those phrases over and over again, you have to think, yeah, I think there's some truth to this. The Democrats just don't like men.
Yeah, that seemed to be a lot of their focus as to, I guess maybe they thought that's how they win the women voters, by siding against the men, but then they sort of painted themselves in the corner by, you know, increasingly focused on more and more marginalized groups that they said, well, men are your enemies, men are your enemies, straight men are your enemies. And they're kind of leaving out that, you know, a lot of communities are composed of straight men, whether it's white, Hispanic, or black. And you saw huge shifts, not just in whites, but in, across all races towards Republicans.
Yeah, exactly. Especially among Hispanic men. And, you know, there was actually a 12-point decline among Hispanic men from 2020 to 2024. 12 points, that's huge. But I think if to sort of probe what the heck is going on here, what we've seen is a radical feminist ideology progressively becoming, growing into the DNA of the Democratic Party. And let's be honest, feminism is not about gender equality. It's about female advantage. So, you know, this whole, this cumulative effect of, you know, a hostile ideology and the rhetoric about misogyny, I think it finally began, you know, men woke up, say, hey, these people are not our friends.
Yeah, and the same way a fish swimming in water doesn't realize it's in water, I mean, how is the party swimming in this toxic feminist ideology going to win back the men voters? Because it seems like all they can think of is, well, it's because men are sexist. We just have to spend money re-educating them to not be sexist. But, like, you have, like, the most progressive education system in the world, just about the way our teachers are, you know, union members, feminists. You see it all the time, especially on like Twitter accounts like Libs of TikTok. You see how the education system really runs and what teachers really teach the kids, yet they still manage to lose voters, with like Gen Z becoming one of the most conservative groups.
Yeah. I mean, you probably remember Tim Walz himself revealed just a couple of weeks ago that he was hired, these are his exact words, so I could code talk to white guys watching football fixing their truck. Well, that is pretty darn condescending, if not insulting. Again, they thought, okay, it's just a messaging issue. Our policies don't matter. Well, that, of course, that's ridiculous.
They've been saying that for decades, though. I remember back in 2014, right after they lost the midterms, they said that we have the best policies ever. It's just a messaging issue. They're not reading the room.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, and it's not just the Democrats screwed up this time. Of course, Donald Trump had a very powerful message. Part of it was his role modeling. He was role modeling assertive, powerful, positive masculinity. He did talk about getting rid of DEI programs, so that obviously resonated with male voters. But, I mean, it was such a powerful, you know, 1-2 punch that so many men woke up and said, hey, we really have to change our vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do we, if this party has left us and that their idea of the most evil man in the world is Donald Trump, who... It was one of the Good Morning America, like Regis and Kelly or something like that, one of those shows where one of the anchors said that Trump was actually very helpful when she was faced with a stalker. So, like, that kind of masculinity, that kind of positiveness, the, you know, generousness that Trump embodies, all that is toxic. Now, of course, people are going to leave a party that thinks that.
Right, yeah. And as a former liberal myself, but now a conservative, I have to say, it's wonderful to see this huge realignment in the political landscape.
All right, Dr. Edward Bartley, appreciate being on the Al Nathan Show. Listeners, we got more programming after this break.
Here in the Great Hall of Shells at the Bailey Matthews National Shell Museum and Aquarium, you can see behind me plenty of species that we mentioned, right? So we wanted to find a way to celebrate, if you will, and invite everybody to come celebrate with us wherever you may be. Of course, we want you here. But different things you can do is visit inside here and learn a little bit about the shells, and then go out onto the beach and pick them yourselves and then bring them home as a souvenir. Because we are the seashell capital of the world, we wanted to coincide with the first day of summer as well, because what better way to celebrate, right? So you're welcome. There's plenty of things to do, but we always want to see you here. Even more fun to do it around this time of year.
Here on the islands, there is so much to do, not just here, but also on our Wild Mile, which incorporates so much of our outdoor space, the birds and animals and species that you can find on San Juan Captiva Island. And then we invite you to go on out to the beach, as Miriam mentioned.
head to visitfortmyers.com. You can get some inspiration, see some photos, and even itineraries there.
Circle K Fuel Day is back. Just in time for Memorial Day weekend, customers can save up to 40 cents on each gallon of fuel at the pump from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. local time on Thursday, May 22nd. The discount is applied directly at the pump, so customers can enjoy their savings seamlessly. Your purchase will also have an added benefit. To honor our veterans ahead of Memorial Day, 10% of profits will be donated to the Children of Fallen Patriots Foundation, helping military children who have lost a parent in the line of duty. As people hit the road over the long weekend, customers can stretch their dollars and help give back to veterans with Circle K Fuel Day. With 5,800 Circle K locations across the U.S. participating in the Fuel Day, mark your calendar to get your discount while supplies last. To find the closest local Circle K store offering this deal, visit CircleK.com/fuel-day.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
This forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show, buddy. Silker Joe Show co-host Joe filling in for Alan today while he is on assignment. We've got a lot to talk about with these riots going on, don't we? Because it just, like I said, the timing is bugging me, but perhaps it's just how the nature of how Democrats felt it should work. because they have, and also Democrats committing political suicide by throwing themselves behind the riots. Like even Democrats like Chris Sillas, MSNBC commentator formerly with CNN, he's out there saying that he's baffled as to why they would favor the rioters, and even he is acknowledging that yes, these are riots. And oh, speaking by the way, I just had this window up here. It was the person I was thinking of who had a good story about Trump in the last segment. That was Kathy Lee. So I was close when I said Regis and Kelly. It was Regis and Kathy Lee that I was thinking of. Now, Regis and Kelly was what the show was named after. Kathy Lee Gifford left the show, but Kathy Lee Gifford, you should check it out. She had a heartwarming, wonderful story about how Trump helped her out, although kind of chilling given the nature of why he had to help her in the first place. Probably something that liberals would overlook today because they're taking the sides of these rioters. Now, when ICE went into Los Angeles, the kind of people they were going after were mostly rapists and murderers, child molesters, just all sorts of nasty people that they were coming for. Yet that's what they decided to riot in order to protect. That's who they are out there protecting. And it's interesting, too, that you don't really see American flags. Well, now, allegedly, I read somewhere that they were considering distributing American flags to the rioters because they realized that there's slight image problem with having a bunch of people waving the Mexican flag in an American city while burning it down, and particularly after the threats that the president of Mexico made. Now, the president of Mexico, she's out there saying how these people are, she's referring to the people as fellow countrymen. She's not referring to them as Mexican Americans. She's referring to them as fellow countrymen, as Mexican citizens all over the place abroad that she's supporting. And she said that they would mobilize to protect them. But she said that they would not allow the income for these people to be taxed, because what goes on is these Mexican citizens, Mexican nationals, they come into America illegally and start seeking work, and then they send the money back to Mexico. And Trump was talking about doing a 3.5% tariff on that sort of money, a remittance tax, I believe it's called. And the president of Mexico said that that these rioters need their support, and she would mobilize to support them and to fight the remittance tax. Now, what did she mean by mobilize? What is she going to mobilize? Is she going to send the military to the border into Los Angeles to support these Mexican citizens? And she, again, did not make a distinction between American protesters or illegal immigrants, or Mexican citizens. They were Mexican citizens as far as she is concerned. And there is a strong movement in Mexico, and a lot of these people seem to have it. I mean, you've seen Twitter accounts out there, Twitter/X accounts or Blue Sky, one of those two, all of them probably, reposting how that section of the United States used to belong to Mexico and how they're taking it back. They don't see it as foreign territory. They see it as their own territory. In fact, celebrity Katy Perry outright said it's their ancestral homeland that they're living in. That is Los Angeles. And she said they should not be feeling scared to be in their own ancestral homeland. In other words, open the border up and just let them flood into the southwestern United States, because we have no right to that territory anyway. Now, I don't see Katy Perry or any other celebrity who feels that way submitting all of their profits to Mexico or letting their houses be occupied by Mexican immigrants and moving somewhere else. I don't see any of that happening. I don't see Hollywood sending all the billions of dollars they make off their movies to the poor natives of the land that they stole and are making that money off of. That is the land that they're on, that they're making that money with. So it's all a hypocrisy. They're just using it to defend their open borders to the extent that it defends the open border. Once you actually get into their own hypocrisy on the issue, that's when they'll suddenly change the argument to something else, because they're just grasping at straws here to defend their lies and their support of rioters in this case. And the Democrat Party at large, again, they seem, as I was saying in the opening segment of the hour, I guess they feel that this is a strategic decision here to try and win back the immigrant population. But, you know, as far as the reconquering this area movement, it's not so far-fetched as you might think. I've talked about this before on this show. Ukraine. What happened in eastern Ukraine? Legally, Russia sent in a bunch of people to settle in the eastern Ukraine, immigrated properly, but they were loyal to Russia. And already that region had some sympathies from the native population towards Russia. And between what was going on with the native population there and what was going on with the Russian immigrants and how those two fed upon each other, suddenly those regions got to the point where they actually could vote to secede from Ukraine, and the Ukrainian government wasn't going to let that happen. And is that what we're seeing right now? Mexico is trying to take over Los Angeles or other such territories through such a similar method, sending in all these people. And are the Democrat Party facilitating it because of this mistaken belief that these people are going to vote Democrat and support their party, and not realizing perhaps that the end game is separating from the United States, or even realizing it and figuring they will have power over this new Mexican state? Could be one of those two, in which case, just in general, though, you could probably label any American protesters helping these illegal immigrants as treason at this point, given how the Mexican government has expressed its support for them and seemed to imply that these people are an arm of the Mexican government, given how these are Mexican citizens burning things in the street, waving Mexican flags. I mean, I don't know about you, but that looks kind of like an invasion to me, where you have citizens of a foreign country waving a foreign flag, talking about how proud they are of their foreign country that they're from, while burning down this country and while attacking the law enforcement of this country. What else can you call it except invasion? And any Americans helping them, likewise, could be considered traitors. I mean, the bar for traitor is pretty low. Democrats want to jump charged with treason just for saying nice things about Putin in 2017. So certainly, if you're aiding a foreign national who's trying to take over a city and attacking law enforcement, then I would kind of be inclined to say that, yeah, maybe you could be accused of treason in that case. And that also goes over the millionaires, billionaires, liberal, left-wing organizations that are behind the riots. I mean, as disorganized as you might think these are actually pretty well organized. And those protests coming up this weekend, they're pretty well organized too. I mean, I don't know if I talked about it a month ago. I remember looking to try and get a guest to talk about them a month ago, about how these things were in the works. For Trump's birthday, for the Army's 250th birthday, Democrats wanted to have some kind of massive protest, like they were doing with the Tesla protest. In fact, those could have been a sort of dry run for the riots that we're seeing. And the same left-wing organizations that were involved in planning the Tesla protest, which led to a lot of sabotage, damage to Tesla vehicles, etc., well, they're behind the riots going on in Los Angeles. And we're seeing a lot of indications of more logistical support in Los Angeles for the riots, such as all this riot gear that has been caught arriving. I mean, gee whiz, Newsweek had a report on it. Now, Newsweek, they tried to play it down the middle. They tried to say, well, some sides say that it's indication they're planning for a riot, but other sides say they're just preparing for police with their rubber bullets and stuff. But the thing of it is, the official narrative of the protesters and the Democrat Party is that there was nothing going on. There was no riot until Trump sent in the National Guard. That's what their narrative is, because, again, this is about scaring immigrants back into supporting Democrats after losing them by 40 points, or after a 40-point shift in support towards the Republican Party, and after, again, as we were talking about in previous segments, the 2024 election where immigrants turned towards Trump. This is about winning them back, so it's about making Trump look like a tyrant, so they are denying that there's any rioting happening before the National Guard arrived, so there wouldn't have been a need for rubber bullets or whatever until Saturday evening, according to the official narrative. Therefore, there wouldn't have been need for any equipment to protect against that until Saturday evening. Now, I did a little experiment. I went to Amazon and saw how fast I could order some of the riot gear that we're seeing, and It stretches credibility to the breaking point to think that in the quantities that we've seen, this amount of gear could have arrived between Saturday evening and Monday morning when the stuff was being distributed. They would have had to have been exceptionally lucky in order to get it that fast. And some of the stuff I saw, if I had ordered it Saturday evening in the quantities that we're seeing on the streets of Los Angeles, it wouldn't have arrived for a week. Okay? So someone was planning for a riot in advance of the riot happening. And actually, one of the people Newsweek interviewed said, oh, yeah, there's a bunch of left-wing organizations that just have this riot crap on standby. So I guess that's just how liberals feel, that rioting is the go-to form of protesting and that they're not capable of peaceful demonstrations, no matter what the media tries to tell you, which... yeah, I would agree, because we've been seeing that they can't be peaceful in their demonstrations for years now. Anyway, we got more Alan Nathan Show coming up after this break, so stick with us.
A new national survey reveals a surprising gap between what Americans believe about dental care and what they actually do. Many say they want to keep their natural teeth for life, but their habits often don't match that goal. Dr. Stephen Katz, president of the American Association of Endodontists, explains.
Most adults say they care about keeping their natural teeth, and nearly 9 in 10 believe flossing is important. But almost 60% don't floss daily, and more than 2 in 5 wait to see a dentist until they're already in pain. These delays can lead to serious dental problems.
Tooth pain doesn't have to mean tooth loss. When problems do arise, there's hope and help from a dental specialist known as an endodontist to help save your natural teeth.
That's correct. Endodontists are specialists in saving natural teeth through root canal therapy. With the right care, even a tooth that hurts or is infected can frequently be saved. But the key is acting early. Don't wait for pain.
Learn more at findmyendodontist.com. A new AARP fraud report highlights the need for better cybersecurity habits. Kathy Stokes is the director of fraud prevention programs with AARP's Fraud Watch Network.
Fraud is becoming increasingly sophisticated, yet many Americans may still be unaware of habits that can decrease their risk. Now, millions of adults have downloaded unverified apps, or they've taken social media quizzes from questionable sources, and millions have yet to enable multi-factor authentication, which is an easy step that offers additional protection for online accounts.
The good news is that protecting yourself doesn't require a tech background.
Simple steps like updating your passwords, using a VPN on public Wi-Fi, and turning on security features can help keep your information safe.
For more on how to protect yourself from the latest scams, visit aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork. That's aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork.
Life is expensive for the average American right now. Budgets are tight and customers are looking for ways to stretch their dollars. That's why Metro by T-Mobile is bringing back the classic $40 plan. Get a new 5G phone and a plan for just $40 flat. For a family of four, it's just $25 a line, and each person gets a free 5G phone. That's $350 in savings. When you join any new plan from Metro, the price of talk, text, and data is guaranteed for the next 5 years. Take that, inflation. For more information, visit metrobyt-mobile.com. Sponsored by T-Mobile.
The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. At Children International, we know that the journey to end poverty for good begins first with a child. It starts with their first checkup, lesson, opportunity, job. That journey takes commitment from people like you and me to end poverty for good. Learn more at children.org.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries, from healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives. To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show, buddy. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour of the program. Soaker Joe Show co-host Joe filling in for Alan today while he's on assignment. And for this last segment, we are joined by Scott Miller. He worked as a pediatric physician's assistant at the beginning of COVID in Washington State until the medical establishment clamped down on his successful treatments. His new book is titled The Most Dangerous Man in Washington. Scott Miller, appreciate you being on the show. How are you today?
Very good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. So the riots have been kind of sucking the oxygen out of the room, but there's plenty of other stuff going on. RFK Jr., for example, saying he's going to oust every member of the government vaccine recommendation panels. What's your take on that?
About time. I think, at least half of them, if not more, were added to that during the Biden administration, I think, in the last year and a half. I don't know what their purpose is anymore.
Yeah, it just seems that they don't really follow the science or follow the medicine. They just say, oh, new vaccine, okay, it's good.
Well, and even their recommendations or the upheaval of the, making the statement that we're not going to advise the COVID vaccines or boosters for otherwise healthy kids and pregnant women, that's the smart, logical thing to do until there's actual studies to look at the damage that it's causing, especially in the teenage and young men, and then in women, pregnant women with all of the fetal demise that we're seeing. It's unconscionable.
From what you say, it sounds like that the vaccine recommendation panels, their only a function seem to have been to rubber stamp speculation about how good a vaccine might be and make it seem like it's official coming from the government as opposed to following the science.
Well, when there was I think one voice of dissent during a committee when they were looking at, are we going to move this through to approval, and the rationale for why they should be a little more thoughtful and careful about it was really good, and it was completely ignored. It was as though no one said anything about the damage that we're seeing, especially with the spike protein crossing the blood-brain barrier for clot formations. I mean, it's just the rampant devastation that we see in so many people, and they don't look at it. Like you said, they have an agenda. It's to rubber stamp it, and it makes the pharmaceutical companies billions and billions of dollars.
And it makes you wonder what these people on these panels are getting in return for that. I mean, is it just ideology motivating them and this love of science, or is the are the pharmaceutical companies somehow involved?
I would say the pharmaceutical companies are always involved, and I think this is hard for a lot of people to necessarily understand. I think it from my experience in talking to hundreds of doctors and trying to help thousands of people, it's an ideology, and it's like a religion. And they believe it with a fanaticism and fundamentalism, the fundamental kind of standpoint that you would see in very dangerous religions.
How did it get to that point, though? I mean, I would think that it would be almost more pleasant to believe that it was just corruption as opposed to ideologues in the medical system itself who are beyond corrupting influences and actually believe the wrong things of their own accord because they think it's the moral thing.
Can I make a statement that might sound a little crazy?
Go ahead.
All right. So friends of mine in hospitals across the country, and I heard this over and over and over again, where they would get, their colleagues would get the shot, and like a switch would flip, and all of a sudden, anyone that wasn't vaccinated should go home and blanking die, or we need to round them up and put them in the tent that's outside and light it on fire. Like this transformational shift in their mindset, how they looked at, how they even looked at it. And there's this thing that I was reading on how the spike protein can affect something called the VMAT2 gene or the God gene, but I can't tell you how many times I would have a conversation and it wasn't just dismissive. It was downright evil. And so, I think it's more than just an ideology. I think there's been some, I think it's something that also affects moral guidance.
Yeah, well, I remember before the COVID vaccine came out, I remember seeing this report that they figured out the gene that makes you more prone to, like, following a tyrannical government. Like, they found a gene that kind of can push you in that direction. And if you're altering genes in order to produce an immunological response to COVID, hey, why not alter genes to produce a response for conformity? And on top of that, in 2022, January of 2022, Rasmussen, they did a poll on and found that of the people of the Democrat Party, people on the left or whatever, something like 45% wanted basically concentration camps for the unvaccinated, and somewhere like 50-55% wanted there to be some kind of criminal penalty if you criticize the vaccines in any way. So there would, if you are someone out there who thinks that most people are basically rational, then wouldn't do that sort of thing, then a vaccine that alters how you think would be an acceptable explanation in that framework.
And what you brought up, so I was in Washington State, Gateway Pundit broke that story because the Department of Health was having a vaccine advisory committee to try and get the COVID shot mandated for children to be able to go to school. And that was the hill I was willing to die on. And so I broke the story with a reporter at Gateway Pundit and showed her where they did. I mean, you could go on the government website, Washington.gov, and you could see where they were hiring people to work at these facilities. It was a little scary.
And scary how, if that had gone unnoticed, or if how more people had supported such things, where that could have led.
Absolutely. And that's, and I think over 40,000 emails and 8,500 phone calls poured into the state after that article ran. And that, right, it's not being published. These are things that weren't being publicized. You had to search. It was hard to actually find the information, and I think that's one of the things that we're seeing more and more as people are waking up. Thank God.
Well, Scott Miller, appreciate you being on the show. Where can our listeners get a copy of your book, The Most Dangerous Man in Washington?
It is currently on Amazon, and yes, please get it. It's an interesting read.
All right, listeners, you can go check that out. We're done with you for this hour of the program. And, of course, our websites, if you want to check them out, MainStreetMediaNetwork.com and AlanNathan.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.